The words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning we focus our attention on our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 11, where we hear the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest." You may be seated. Last week you heard a message based on the words of Matthew chapter 10, which was our assigned reading for last week. And that message reminded us that the Christian life is not one that's made to make us comfortable. We're not promised peace and comfort in this world, but we're encouraged to get comfortable as Christians with being uncomfortable. The true peace and comfort of Christ won't be realized until that time when we are secure in our home in paradise. And over these past few weeks, we've heard some troubling words from Jesus. We've heard about all types of hardships that Christians are going to face as conflicts arise among families and within communities. And we know that that happens. We experience it all the time. And the reason that these hardships so often arise is over our fidelity to Christ and to His Word. And now we hear today from the Gospel of Matthew, again in the very words of Jesus Himself, that He is going to bear all of our burdens, that He is going to give us rest. And to me, that sounds a whole lot like making us comfortable. So am I contradicting my message from last week? No, not today. Nothing to contradict there. Because these messages are not contradictory. Because God's word doesn't contradict itself. Jesus doesn't say one thing in one place to one group of people and then go somewhere else and say something that's completely different. We are not meant to be comfortable in this life, because this is not ultimately where we're going to reside. And if our ultimate home is in heaven, that is going to be where we're going to experience the ultimate eternal comfort and peace. The comfort and peace that Christ came to win for us. And so today we are going to explore what it is that Jesus means when He says to us, "Come unto me and I will give you rest." Because it's so much more than just giving us the peace of mind or carrying our load for us. The things that we want to make us comfortable here in this world, what Jesus is saying is much more than that. Of course, it is all of those things, but it's more than that. So what sort of rest does Jesus give to us? And that's a great question. What sort of rest does He give to us if we're not going to be comfortable here in this life, if it's only going to be in eternity that we're truly comfortable? But the better question is, what sort of rest do we need? Is it the sort of rest that can be obtained by taking a couple of days off of work and going to the beach or going to watch the fireworks? Or swimming? Is it the kind of rest that requires a whole week-long vacation? Maybe it's the sort of rest that comes with just simply sleeping in and taking the day off from all the work that you would normally would be engaged in. Even though we're not able to do all of these things all of the time, they do sound good to us, and they are enjoyable when we're able to have them, when we're able to fit them in to the busyness of this life that we live. But is that really the sort of rest that Jesus is talking about? The answer is obviously no. That's not the rest that He's talking about. He's not talking about us taking a vacation. He's not talking about us taking a day off of work, but He is speaking about the type of rest that only He can give. So our text tells us that Jesus is willing and He is also capable of giving us rest in various different ways. But that especially he wants for us to have the mental and the emotional and the intellectual rest in addition to all of the physical rest that he also gives to us. And so we're going to explore each of these as well as being reminded this morning of the spiritual rest that can only come from one place. It can only come from our faith in Christ Jesus. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children." There is a certain level of freedom in the understanding that knowledge of God, this kind of head knowledge that we may have, and also our certainty of eternal salvation that we have, there's a freedom in our understanding that those things are simply given to us, rather than having to be obtained through some sort of rigorous study or learning. It's not something that we can just pile into our mind and be able to understand. They're given to us. No matter how hard we might work at understanding God, no matter how wise and understanding we might become, it's freeing that he makes himself known to little children. The ones whose childlike faith look to him with complete trust, those are the ones that God says he reveals himself to. And we're not just talking about the size of the child or how well they're able to walk or talk. It's not about the age of a person. It's about having a childlike faith, one that looks to the Lord for salvation, one that understands from where their help comes. Because it isn't a joint effort. Any effort that we might make to obtain anything at all from God is going to be in vain, because the gifts that he gives to us are free to us. And they're free to us, as I've said before, only because of the price that Christ paid for them. So we know that Jesus offers to us mental and emotional rest, assuring us that even in our sinful state, that our trust in him gives us the freeing knowledge and assurance of salvation. But that's not all that he offers to us. If that were all, it would be fine and it would be good. But Jesus also promises to give to us physical rest. These are such comforting words of Jesus when he says to us, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's the rest that we so also greatly desire. And as a father, I can understand the desire to take that physical burden away from a child, to pick them up and to carry them so that their bodies might not have to endure whatever strain it is that they're undergoing. And what I find interesting is that little children will let their father do this for them. I'm sure you remember a time when you came home from a late evening out and you were in the back seat of the car, and when you pulled into the driveway, you squeezed your eyes shut and pretended to be asleep so that dad would come around to the back of the car, open the door, and scoop you up and take you in and lay you in your bed. Esau's looking there. You've done that, haven't you? I think we all have. Because we desire the strong and loving arms of a father. We desire to be in those loving and strong arms, running and jumping into our father's arms at the end of a long day, despite all the 100 other things that he's carrying and probably ends up dropping on the ground as you jump into his arms. That's the type of rest and comfort that our heavenly Father desires to provide for us. Stronger and more loving arms than any earthly father could provide. with never a concern for what burden he's already carrying for so many others. And yet Jesus doesn't tell us that he's going to remove all of these burdens from us. He certainly doesn't tell us that life is going to become comfortable when he takes these burdens away from us. But rather, he invites us to yoke ourselves to him. Not so that he might share in the load that we're bearing, but so that he might pick us up, burdens and all, and carry us along with him. I have an uncle who lives in Connecticut, and he has on the wall of his living room hanging a massive 6 foot long by about 3 foot high wooden oxen yoke. And it came from one of my ancestors, and it was supposed to be passed down to me, and it will be someday, but for now I have nowhere to put it. But he had a great big wall in his living room, cathedral ceilings, and he put it up on his wall. But he can't just put a picture hanger up on the wall and hold up an oxen yoke. He had to take 1-inch thick dowels and drill into the studs and put those in there so that it would be able to hang up this oxen yoke. Because that yoke probably weighs 60 or 70 pounds by itself. And so if you think about it, Jesus is inviting us to come and be yoked to him. Doesn't it seem as though our burden would become even greater? The fact is, no. He doesn't say, I'm going to take part of your yoke. He says, I'm already carrying this yoke, and I do it pretty well. And I'm inviting you to come and be yoked to me, where not only will I carry the full weight of this yoke, and any weight that's on me already, but also your weight. What a wonderful thing it is that when we are yoked to Christ, he takes all of that away from us. He takes all of the burden off of us, and he puts it on himself. It's not a joint effort. As much as we'd like to believe that old saying, do your best, and then God will do the rest. That's not how it works with God. Jesus isn't looking for people who can carry their own weight. He's looking for those who allow him to carry it for them. And that sounds so foreign to our ears, because today's leaders want to draft followers who can contribute to their success, who can take them to the next level, people who can make a positive contribution. But that's not how Jesus works. Jesus seeks out those who are weary and who are heavy laden. He doesn't shy away from the weakest link because it's going to cause his business to falter somehow. He takes that weakest link and he mends it. If you're a tax collector and you collect more from the people than is your right to do, Jesus wants you. If you're possessed by demons, Jesus is seeking you out and he's calling you to himself. If you're burdened by a sin that you'd rather not name, he's ready to forgive you. If you're fishing in the wrong pond, Jesus says, follow me. And if you're weary from providing support to those who show you no gratitude, he says to you, I care for you. He takes the full weight upon himself, and he gives the rest that we need from the weariness of our sin. He took the weight of the cross and everything that went along with it so that we would be free from our sin. It's not just a past tense thing. He continues to carry all of our burdens. Just as it's freeing to rely on our trust in him, it's also freeing to know that there is absolutely no burden that we have to carry on our own. In fact, Jesus invites us to cast every single one of those burdens on him because he cares for us. We know that this life is never going to be comfortable. As we navigate life in a world that's always going to be hostile to Christ and to his followers. But we also know that when we're yoked to Jesus, our burden will be light because he takes all of it upon himself. Our only participation in this effort is to trust the one who has given us everything so that we might have the rest of mind and body and soul that he has promised to us. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.